Welcome to this excerpt from Chapter 2 of One Degree of Separation. The character of Liddy Peel is one of my most vocal users of, shall we say, expletive deleted language. In this reading, I won't be deleting the expletives, so if colorful words will offend you, you might want to opt out. Liddy has found herself spending the summer in Iowa City, somewhat against her will, and she's not a happy camper. Her. Liddy Peel ignored the audible comment and pointed look directed at her. This town was too small, too humid, too hot, too provincial, and she hadn't even been here a week. 8 more weeks of this baking hell to go. She was so fucking tired of being the fresh meat at the coffee house market. She'd even heard that description of her whispered from one woman to another. Obviously, none of these cowtown lightweights had seen the inside of a women's studies class. Not that her own foray into women's studies had turned out so well, but that was beside the fucking point. They were worse than men, she told herself. Swear to freaking God. Mocha, definitely with caffeine on ice, with cream. The barely legal kid behind the counter mumbled an answer. So far, they'd gotten it right, and the coffee was admittedly good. At home, she'd turn around now, check out who was in the place on the off chance that she would know someone. Not that it would have been likely, even in the student union. But she didn't know anybody here. She didn't want to know anybody here. The last thing she wanted was to make eye contact with one of the boa constrictors. She couldn't go back to Cal, either. She was a graduate, finally. This job had come along at exactly the right moment in her life, and she was lucky to have it. She waited, with her back to the rest of the long, narrow shop and the clusters of tables and groupings of sofas and easy chairs. To be fair, the Java House was as comfortable and collegiate as similar establishments in Berkeley. All it lacked was a plastic drum band outside. The radio was even tuned to the university station. Just like at home, she tried and failed to focus on what must be a vitally serious topic to engender such passion from the panelists. It sounded worthwhile, burning old holes instead of coal, but it just wasn't something she could get all worked up about. Liddy edged sideways to make room for a shorter woman now ordering, who also wanted an iced mocha. They probably went through ice by the ton in the summer. "Did you find what you needed about writing to the Queen of England?" The oddity of the question made Liddy glance at the woman next to her, who was actually managing to hold a conversation with a taciturn boy. He was even smiling. Who knew? Liddy took her mocha from him and added fake sugar and chocolate sprinkles. Her drink well doctored, she took a breath and turned to face the room. It was only about 20 feet to the door, but the most direct route took her past the boa constrictors. With relief, she detoured instead to the stack of daily Iowan newspapers. Maybe somebody at the university was doing something remotely interesting this weekend. She flipped it open to scan the headlines. Trailer park residents were suing Coralville. All she knew about Coralville was that the city logo on the water tower was blue. A U of IW student was the first Iowan to reach the summit of Mount Everest. The university was also proudly the home of a one-of-a-kind model lake, useful for numerous experiments. One of the boa constrictors called out, "Marion, they've got brownies today." After the cake I had last night, I really couldn't. Could I? Liddy wanted to roll her eyes. Lesbians and chocolate. What a cliché. There was an abrupt silence, and Liddy could feel the traded glances behind her back. The brunette with the overprocessed highlights whispered, "That's her! You were standing right next to her, and you didn't say anything!" The woman named Marion said in a normal tone, "Ellie, I'm quite sure she can hear every word you're saying." Liddy stiffened her back and slowly turned around. "I may be new, but I'm not deaf." Marion, at least, was looking her in the eye. "I'm sorry. I know what it's like. We were all new once." An older woman with wedge-cut gray hair chimed in, "I'm the only native in the bunch." "Oh, hush, Terry, even you ended up on Carrie's holistic love couch," the brunette muttered. Her sharp brown gaze caught Liddy's for a moment, and her smile grew conspiratorial. "You'll know Carrie when you see her." Liddy didn't know whether to give vent to the indignation she felt at having her proclivities presumed, or to laugh Say something meaningless and escape. It's okay, Marion said. Ellie can't help herself. Liddy found a tight smile. Fortunately, I can. Good for you! Marion turned to the brunette again. I have to get back to work, Elle. See you Friday night, if not sooner. Liddy headed for the door as well, not wanting to be drawn into conversation with Ellie. She wasn't in the mood for sex. Maybe never again. She didn't need a girlfriend to be whole, and she didn't need sex to feel alive. Swear to freaking God. She found herself following Marion down the wide pedestrian mall. What a creative name, she thought. The open-air mall was dotted with planters, benches, and tables placed under broad, canopied trees. The smell of falafel and tahini sauce was evocative of home, and Liddy nearly got a pita just for comfort. But the coffee was refreshing enough. The mall reached a dead end at a multi-storied hotel, and, like Marion, she turned left away from the fountain. She glanced longingly over her shoulder at the children running through the spray. To have no worries. Sometimes, being a grown-up sucked. Liddy followed Marion past a massive play structure, deserted in the swelter of early afternoon, and around brightly painted construction barriers on South Lynn. Marion turned into the large public library. Aw, was that where she worked? Marion, the librarian? Swear to freaking God, this town is small. It was a long walk to her rented house on North Dodge. Her cotton tank was a second skin by the end of the first block, but the iced mocha was wonderful, going down. At least they took their coffee seriously. The streets were shady and most of the yards brimmed with lush gardens, so as walks went, it didn't suck. What else would she do with her time? Dating was out of the question. She was not interested in dating right now, and certainly not in any of the predators at the coffee house. It was annoying, being taken for granted. She'd been taken for granted by men before she'd realized she was a lesbian. Liking women did not make her see why she should stop being annoyed. She was wearing an old top, and even older cutoffs. Her hair looked like she'd slept on it wet, which she had. And still, the looks, the overt curiosity. Maybe she screamed sexy and dyke. She'd been told often that she did, so often it felt like an accusation, not a compliment. But she didn't think she damn well screamed available for the asking, too. Swear to freaking God, boobs made even lesbians stupid. She was halfway home when she realized she'd forgotten to look for a store that sold candles. Telegraph Avenue at home would have offered a half dozen street vendors, but here she'd have to make a bigger effort, obviously. The furnished house had a funky smell of mice and mothballs. Something with the aroma of the ocean would be relaxing and useful. It was so far to the nearest tide. The house smelled old and dead, and she was not either of those things, even if she felt like it sometimes. She stopped walking for a moment, letting the waves of anger subside. She'd thought miles and fucking miles of fucking cornfields would be enough to be far away from the past, far enough away that she'd stop being mad and hurt and crushed, that she'd start feeling like she could smile and not cry. She needed to destroy something, but lacked a viable target. If the Reverend Phelps had appeared in front of her right then, she'd have cheerfully dismembered him and then beat his fascist cronies to death with his bones. What are you doing in Iowa fucking City? She pressed one hand over her eyes and took a long, steadying breath. To do a job, she reminded herself. If she did it well, it could be a good future. Swear to freaking God, she was not going to be 30 and still wondering what she wanted to be when she grew up. She trudged up the driveway of her temporary home. The living room of the house was Iowa City rental chic. What matched was broken, while the ugliest furniture would survive the apocalypse, forever pristine. Rates were low for summer and the lease was up July 31st, when the students would flood the town again. By then, Liddy hoped to be home in Berkeley, where she belonged, her laptop overflowing with notes and citations. She dialed up her voicemail out of habit and flinched at the sound of her mother's amplified voice. Daddy and I were just wondering how you are. Have you looked up my cousin Selma yet? Cedar Rapids is only 35 miles. You take the interstate. She punched ahead 30 seconds. Then you turn left on Runnymede. Daddy can send you the map if you need it. Are you eating something more than oatmeal? We love you, honey. Call when you get the chance. It was her first and only message since her arrival 4 days ago, so she saved it. She could listen again later and pretend she actually had a reason for voicemail. She was only a few steps from the phone when it chirped. She snatched up the handset. "This is Faye with University Library Services. I'm calling to let you know that 8 of the 9 texts you requested have arrived. They'll be held under your name for the first 4 days." "Oh," Liddy was at a loss for words. "You actually called." "We always do, as you should have been informed." Oh, it's okay. Nobody's ever called before, that's all." "Really? But it's our policy. Never." I'm new. Nobody at home ever called, I mean, in California." "Oh, I see." Incredulity changed to understanding. There was even a nuance of pity in the librarian's voice. How late are you open tonight?"
"Until 8 on Wednesdays."
"Great." She could grab the books, get some dinner out for a change, then come home and settle in to read something useful. The rest of the day no longer seemed so bleak. At least she would get some work done toward claiming that first paycheck. She was here to work. She'd had her doubts that the in-window air conditioning unit had any effect at all until she stepped outside just after 7. The humidity descended on her shoulders like a blanket, and sweat instantly prickled the length of her back. She stood in the shade of the house for a minute, glaring at the Hummer. It had been fun to drive across country. She'd slept in it 3 nights in Walmart parking lots. She'd cruised past big rigs and RVs on steep grades. It barely fit in the narrow 2-track cement driveway, and there was no street parking, and it got 13 miles to the gallon, if she was lucky. Leave it to her absentee biological father to make a gesture like this, lavish, conspicuous, yet undeniably fun. He wanted her to love the outdoors the way he did, routinely ignoring the fact that she was a city girl down to the tips of her pink-tinted toenails. The insurance was astronomical, and there were times when she couldn't afford to fill the 32-gallon tank. It was not the vehicle of a master in history with no firm job prospects. Her mother, when she'd seen it, had simply said, "How typical of Jim." Liddy heard every bounced child support check in her mother's sigh. Daddy, her mother's second husband, had helped her explore all its little gadgets, then advised her to sell it and pay off her student loans. She steeled herself for the tight squeeze through the fence post at the base of the driveway. A scratch would probably cost $1,000 to fix. Her biological father was there at the major birthdays and events like college graduation, but not around for the little things. He never had been. She had the behemoth halfway out of the driveway when the next spate of traffic reached her. Aware she was holding up the busy street, she continued inching out and told herself she could do this every day. She would not sell her car just because it was too big for Iowa fucking City. She was only here for the summer. Nobody honked, but she felt as if gun sights were focused on her California license plates. Free at last, she headed toward campus, narrowly avoiding a head-on with a bus. The streets were too narrow. She managed to find 2 adjacent parking spaces in the lot next to the university's main library. She jammed a Cal Bears cap over her hair, pulled her ponytail through the back, and welcomed the cool interior. Her reserved books were located and checked out to her with alacrity. Scanning the bibliography of the first book, she saw several items she ought to look for. Wandering through the musty stacks, she felt calm again. Libraries had that effect on her. She was startled when the lights flickered. A glance at her watch told her it was nearly 8. She took her new list of needed texts to the research desk. At least the lines were short. She'd be spoiled when she got home to Cal again. "Oh, stop that," she thought. "You're not a Cal student any longer, remember?" "This one I can't help you with. It's out to Professor, and they can keep a book indefinitely." The slightly swishy reference librarian seemed genuinely regretful. "Technically, they have to bring it back, but short of us sending a security guard to their office, we can't really force the issue." "Oh, well, dang, I saw in the catalog it's the only copy. Try the PL. They have a lot of general medical reference."
"PL?
Public library. It's just off the Ped Mall." "Oh, really? Yes, it's worth stopping in." She remembered now that Marion the librarian had turned into the sizable building. "Plus they have fiction and videos." "Well, there's an idea." Liddy thanked him for the advice, checked out the 3 additional books she'd decided on, and headed into the sunset swelter. Parking the Hummer near the pedestrian mall was another chore. Maybe she should settle her student loans and buy something more practical. One of those hybrids that would get her home to California on a tank of gas, maybe. Or a nice Jeep. A Jeep could be fun and practical. Of course, it would never double as a moving van. The Hummer had held a ton of crap and left plenty of room for sleeping, even if one morning she'd woken up with the winch in her back. Standing in the nonfiction area, she realized her reference number for the text was the Library of Congress method, and of course, the public library used the Dewey Decimal System. There were no terminals free to look it up again, and suddenly the rows seemed very long. She could guess roughly where the book ought to be, but sharp hunger pangs were making it hard to think. She knew closing time had to be fast approaching. Discouraged, she almost left, but a roaming glance caught sight of a sign for the reference desk. The librarians would have their own terminals. The woman at the desk was huddled over something as Lydia approached, but she abruptly looked up. "Oh," Lydia thought in surprise, "Marion again. May I help you find a resource?" If Marion recognized her, it didn't show. "I have a Library of Congress number for something I need." "The title is good enough. Allow me to look up the shelf location for you, if we have it." Marion took the proffered paper and tapped rapidly on her keyboard. "We do, and I show it on the shelf. And this," she wrote a number series neatly on the paper, "this is your call number." Encouraged, Liddy refused the businesslike offer to help her find it, and hurried away after pleased thanks. She thumbed the book quickly. Yes, it would be useful. Great bibliography on women and medical ethics, too. Her employer was bound to be interested in that topic. Marion, the librarian, smiled pleasantly when Liddy returned. "Did you find everything you were interested in?" "Yes, thank you. I don't have a library card, though." "No problem. Do you have a valid driver's license?" "Yeah, but California." She dug in her pocket. "As long as it's current. You need a local address, even if it's temporary. Here's the form. Do you need a pen?" "Nope." She flipped open her little billfold that held her license and credit card. Marion glanced at the license, then said, "Actually, I'm not the one to show that to. When you've completed the form, you can take it to the circulation desk, and they'll give you the card and check out the books to you. That's when you'll need your ID. "How long can I have this book for, do you know?" 2 renewals for 4 weeks can be completed online as long as it hasn't been reserved by someone else, and I'm pretty sure this one won't be in high demand. The total time, therefore, would be 12 weeks, including the initial checkout period. Liddy blinked, not used to such ready information, so clearly provided. "That'll cover my stay here, thank you." She felt awkward for just a moment, as if she should acknowledge the earlier meeting. Finally, she gestured a wave with the book. "Happy reading." Marion looked behind Liddy. "May I help you find a resource?" "I'm still looking for a phone number in Dallas." As she walked toward the checkout area, Liddy was aware of the measured, patient tone of Marion's voice, completely at odds with the rude edge of the woman she was helping. There was not enough money on the planet to make her work with the public, Liddy thought. Swear to freaking God. She was out on the sidewalk before she identified a slight annoyance that Marion the librarian had not shown any sign that she'd recognized Liddy. She was tired of being ogled, true, but she was not used to being forgotten. Thanks for listening to this excerpt from Chapter 2 of 1 Degree of Separation. You can read more about this book at my website, callmaker.com. You can acquire all of my titles from my publisher, bellabooks.com, or just about anywhere books are sold. Thanks again.